All right, so the first thing that I wanted to do for our class today is show you a couple things that you have available to you as resources, because there's a good chance that you're not going to be able to make it in every single week over the course of this class. One thing that I wanted to let you know, I'm sure a couple of you are like, how are you going to get all the way to the present if this class ends next week? One of the things that Gerald and I had talked about even before this last week is extending this class through February to get us all the way through evangelical history and to be able to spend a much more focused time on the rise of the evangelical movement by its name in the 50s all the way up to the present. So today, just to give you kind of a path of way forward, is today we're going to get through the Second Great Awakening and the activism taking place in early 19th century, late 18th century Britain. So that's going to cover the abolition movement, the invention of the Sunday school, and other movements to reform the manners of the people of England, which also then has influence over to America, because I'm sure you guys realize this, that America gets all of its great ideas from England, and we do that usually after they've invented them and presented them and stuff. So we'll do that today. Next week, we'll get to the point where we get to talk about the end of the 19th century and the lives of D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon. That leads all the way up to fundamentalism. The story of institutional developments will continue. We will talk about the beginnings of Moody Bible Institute and the Bible Institute movement, including schools like Biola and all of that story, which will then lead us into our first week of February. And in the first week of February, I have a special guest that's going to be with us. One of my professors from TEDS, John Woodbridge III, is going to come, and he's going to have a conversation with us. And he's a very interesting person. Besides being an outstanding historian and scholar, his father, John Woodbridge Jr., was J. Gresham Machen's protege and was very attuned to everything that was going on when Princeton, the leaders of Princeton, J. Gresham Machen, left and started Westminster and the development of Westminster and the growth of Westminster. And so it'll be very interesting to have Dr. Woodbridge with us. He's a great storyteller. He's an expert on evangelicalism. He's just a fantastic guy. So one of the things that I wanted to show you is, as a resource to you throughout this course and also in reference to all of our foundations classes, if you go to our website and you visit the resource page, on the resource page underneath more resources, there's our sermon archive where you can go and watch any of the video sermons from any of the past number of years. Underneath that is our foundation class archive. If you visit the foundation class archive page, it'll take you to our audio archive, and you can look at any of our past classes that we've recorded. If you click on this class, since I'm able to do this as we go through the class, you'll be able to access any of our previous recordings. So there's the week one recording and the week two recording. And then we also have a handout section. So if you've been like taking photos and stuff, you don't have to take the photos. You can just go visit here, and if you click on week one, it'll bring up the PDF that I use for the presentation, and you can just have access to that. And that's yours. So I've properly cited everything, so it will be very helpful for you. If you want to keep that for your own references in the future, it's very easy to save. If you just pull your cursor down towards the bottom, there's that little arrow right there. And if you click on that, it'll automatically put it wherever your computer stores its downloads. And you'll be able to just save it to anywhere else on your computer if you'd like. So that'll be a very helpful resource for you, especially since there are times where we don't get through all of the different slides that I take us through, you'll be able to go back and look at maybe some of the information that's on those. For the most part, I've been able to re-implement or reincorporate those slides into our current week session. Now, before I actually get going, I want to invite Zach up, and Zach is going to tell you about our book club that we're starting at the church, just to give you an idea a little bit about that new project that we've got going on.
Yeah, so this is something that Pastor Gerald and I have been talking about for close to a year now, getting started. So we're really excited to finally be launching it. It's kind of like an extension arm of our foundation's ministry. And the structure of it's going to be that the club will meet about once a month is what we're going to be shooting for. And we'll read one book a month, and then we'll meet together in the evening on a Monday to discuss it for a few hours. So the first book that we've selected is a novel called Silence. You may have heard of it. This actually was made into a movie by Martin Scorsese, of all people, last year, and just about no one saw it because Hollywood can't handle Christian themes, apparently.
The book is
a work of historical fiction. It's set in 17th century Japan, and it's about a couple Jesuit missionaries going there to try to spread the gospel during the age of kind of Western colonialism, when Japan and these other East Asian countries were very closed off to Western influence. So there's a lot of really interesting things in this book about kind of the interaction between cultures, cross-cultural missions, and also just the role of Christianity in a culture where it's dominant versus Christianity in a culture where it's kind of a new, quote-unquote, outside influence. It gets into a lot of those themes. It gets into themes of suffering and persecution. And it's really challenging and stimulating, and it kind of defies easy answers to these questions. And it'll really, for me, when I read it for the first time, it was both inspiring and really challenging and troubling in certain ways, which is kind of what we're going for in this book club. Is we're going to try to pick things that aren't just going to be kind of like cheesy bumper sticker Christianity, but things that have Christian themes that will challenge and stimulate and kind of stretch us in terms of just the stories that they're telling. So we'd also love for this book club to be something that you can invite your friends to from around the community, just kind of like, hey, my church hosts this book club. We read fiction works, and it's not, it's not all going to be explicitly Christian. It'll be works of classic fiction and things like that, and we'll discuss it kind of within a church context, and the Christian element will come from our community and the things that are important to us, not necessarily explicitly from like the overt themes, although in this one it is pretty overt because it's about Christian missionaries. So I'd love to see many of you out at our first discussion of this in February. It's towards the end of February on a Monday. Joey, I think, can tell you the website. There's a landing page on the website where you can find out more and you can find the book. The book is like $9 on Amazon, so not a big financial commitment. And I'm also going to have next Sunday, I'm going to have a little table set up where I'll have a few copies of the book. If you just want to come and buy one from me for $10, we can do that as well. So really excited. Hope to see many of you there. Question?
Can I just say I'm so excited and thankful that you guys are doing this. I think it's such a wonderful opportunity to engage, bring in our friends too by having it open like that and to get us. I'm just thrilled. I hope you guys are going to do this like ongoing.
Yeah, we're hoping to. So part of doing it ongoing is getting traction and getting people coming. So yeah, we're excited. We're going to be looking at, like, I could see this being a thing where we read kind of like contemporary novels, like if any of you are familiar with like Khaled Hosseini, who wrote The Kite Runner and other things like that, or like Marilyn Robinson, or even like if we wanted to get really intense, we could read like The Brothers Karamazov over 3 months or something like that.
I'm excited.
I mentioned that to my wife Shelby and she was like, do it, so we'll see. But yeah, so hope to see many of you there. We're really excited to get that going. So
The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire by Gibbon. No.
Bring this to the community too? I mean, like,
we should. I hadn't thought about that, but we can put it up in like
Yeah, we can create a poster and put it in Starbucks. Especially when we do something like Kite Runner, because I remember 10 years ago going to Starbucks and they were selling Kite Runner. We should do an Ernest Hemingway book. That would be easy access to our community.
Lots of potential for it. So we're excited. Read the book. Be there.
This one, you.
This one's not too bad. It's like 190 pages. So like 10 pages a day for a month, you're golden.
Boom.
There you go.
Thanks, Zach. Okay. So one of the things that I wanted to do to begin this class is to read the first sentence of this book. This is called The American Evangelical Story, and it's by my doctoral advisor, Doug Sweeney, up at TEDS. And this is a very thin book, but it's a history of the whole movement. And he begins with the First Great Awakening, just like I did. It's really funny because I've just read like the preface and the first chapter of this book, and I hadn't read this book. Like, I'm not the best doctoral student. I don't read all of the books my doctoral advisor does. And I was like really shocked by how much overlap there was between what I'm doing and what's in this book. I think some of those things, what?
Shocking indeed.
Yeah, you just kind of pick up those things from your advisor. So this is from his chapter, The Evangelical, What's in a Word? And his very first sentence of the whole book, I really love this because I feel like this is an essential part about what it means to be an evangelical. And it's something that you see throughout the history of American history, Western history, since the First Great Awakening. He says this, and it makes a lot of sense when you understand what the meaning of the word evangelical is literally in Greek. He said, evangelicals are gospel people. That's it. And that does really capture the essence of what it means to be an evangelical and what it should continue to mean to be an evangelical in the 21st century. The most fundamental aspect about being an evangelical, because the word evangelical means good news, it means the gospel, it means to be people who are about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so that should always come forward. What that also means is that for evangelicals, the gospel is going to move us to live in a particular way. And I know I can unlock this. There we go. Particularly in this session, we're going to get to spend some time looking at some of the ways in which evangelicals were moved. In America, evangelicals were moved towards revivalism, and there was a particular reaction to that. There was the conservative side that said, we need to be thoughtful about how we're doing this and what we're doing. And then there's going to be the side of it where more of the center of the person was located to the heart and the appetite, and it became more of an emotionally driven movement. And so what people would do is they would go into these encampments and they would spend long periods of time together, and they would get really worked up and really emotional, and they would have these, they would describe them as raptures of glory. Other people would say they're being really enthusiastic. In fact, if you wanted to remind people that evangelicals weren't exactly the respectable or the fashionable people of the time, they would just refer to them as enthusiasts. And so those were the things that people were moved to in America. In Britain, because Britons are typically more respectable and more fashionable, they were moved in the realm of activism. And they wanted to effect change in society. And so we're going to get to talk about William Wilberforce today. And he was a person who was in a position of privilege and a position in power that had two great objects that he wanted to effect change with. He wanted to reform the manners of the people, and he wanted to abolish slavery. And for the most part, he did those two things and introduced England to the Victorian period that it would go into, which was this period of extreme moral, ethical emphasis on higher virtues that were Christian virtues. So I'm going to begin where we left off, and I'm going to go ahead and skip all these things for today. As a reminder, the quadrilateral conversionism, biblicism, activism, crucicentrism. Today we're going to see a lot of our focus towards the activism, the dedication of all believers, including lay people, to lives of service for God, especially as manifested in evangelism, spreading the good news and mission, taking the gospel to other societies. And in the case of Britain, creating particular societies to do that work, the American Bible Society, the Religious Tract Society, the Sunday School Society, temperance societies, all of those type of societies that were meant to convince and compel people to participate in some sort of cause. So as you recall, this is where evangelicalism has spread during the first half of the 19th century. It follows the line of the British Empire, and I've often thought that there's another story underneath this that you have to think about when you think about all of these people moving about and